The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome. A brand new week. Wow, an amazing weekend it was. It was graduation for the high schools around Missoula, and we were invited over to our neighbor's house, the Follettes, and Ashley had just graduated from high school. A house full of people. It is times like that that just make it fun to be living in Missoula and to be neighbors with folks who invite you over to enjoy celebrations with their families. So congratulations to all 820 seniors who graduated in the class of 2025 over the weekend from Missoula High Schools. And I hope everybody had a good time and a good party and looking forward to what's coming up next. So now, do you remember yours, Nick? I mean, mine was like 4,000 years ago.
My high school graduation? I remember most of it. Yeah, it was a good time. It was one of those unique things where most of my friends also had parties going on. So it was like a weird feeling because you were having a party, but a lot of your friends weren't there. But you also had to, like, we each took time to leave for like 10 minutes from our own party to go like hang out at each other's real quick and, you know, say hi and, you know, meet some other people's families. So I remember that day being kind of just a mess because I had a lot of family from Montana visiting, because obviously I grew up in California until I was about 18, and now I've obviously been in Montana ever since then. But
right.
But yeah, so I had a lot of Montana family that made the trip, and then my dad and I actually got in my car a couple of days after that, and we drove ourselves to Missoula. So yeah.
Wow, awesome. And then at that course... You entered the University of Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So now, why did you choose UM? I've never asked you about this. So,
because my dad lived here. Okay. Really, that was right. Kind of I got early acceptance at the university, and it was kind of always the plan through high school that I was just going to come to the University of Montana and get a change of scenery and see what things are like. And I came and never left. So there you go.
Good deal. And, of course, a journalism major?
Yep. Yep.
Right, graduated summa cum whatever.
Yeah, sure. I got a degree, so that's the best part. Yeah. Yeah.
Summa cum, get the heck out of here, right?
Yeah, pretty much at that point. Yeah, that's where I was at. Yeah.
Well, you're far ahead of me. I went to the University of Montana for one glorious year at age 17, and wasn't ready for college at all. But my mom said, "You're going to college." I said, "Okay." So off I went to Missoula from Helena. Didn't know a soul. So managed to struggle through a year, and that was the end of that. So the summer after that debacle, I got into radio, and so here I am. In the back door, I guess.
50-plus years later, so there you go.
And so the really funny and ironic part of that is over the last 8 to 12 years, Denny Bedard and I have been reading the names of all the graduates at commencement, which is like incredibly ironic.
I don't think that's too bad. I think that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And nobody's even offered me an honorary degree.
Listen,
in what, I wouldn't know. I'm sure I could get an honorary degree in what are the kindergartners cut stuff up and make, you know, whatever. Anyway.
But I think there's a movie about that, Billy Madison or something.
Something
we can send
like
you
it.
Back to school.
Yeah. You bet. Well, again, to the 820 seniors who graduated over the weekend, congratulations. And, of course, our neighbors, the Follettes, had a wonderful party. They have great kids, and they've been super, super neighbors. And so I just hope everybody who was involved in high school graduation over the weekend had a great, great time. The weather was beautiful. We had a couple little, you know, episodes of light rain, but aside from that, it was a beautiful weekend. I think it was good for everybody.
Awesome.
So congratulations to all. All right, we're coming up on a break. Give us a call. It's open phone, 721-1290. We'll be right back after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Story. After a cold start, increasing clouds today with highs reaching the low 70s. Those clouds will lead to a 40% chance of rain overnight, and then periods of rain Tuesday with a chance of precipitation hitting 90%. There's a chance some of those showers could come from thunderstorms with gusty winds through Tuesday afternoon. Rain continues Tuesday night, and then a chance of showers at times on Wednesday as the unsettled weather continues. Lows could still dip into the 30s when skies clear, with sun returning on Thursday.
Welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Good to have you along this morning. And I just want you to know that this first hour is completely open phones. Whatever might be on your mind this morning, we'd love to visit with you about it at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Something happened that you'd like to talk about, something national, international, whatever it might be. The phone lines are open, and it's all up to you, whatever you'd like to talk about this morning at 406-721-1290. And, of course, since we're broadcasting all over the state of Montana, we'd love to have some of the folks who are new, if you will, members of our listening audience, especially the eastern part of the state. Hey, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Find out what's going on in your communities, what kind of things are happening in your part of the state. Give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we're getting calls already coming in, so we'll get to those here in just a moment. And I do believe we have
Harry.
Harry, good morning. Thanks for starting things off for us, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Yeah, last week on Friday, someone had accused me of saying, well, I just hate Trump no matter what. But we've had this conversation before. I'm willing to give Trump, credit where credit's due, but, he's done some good stuff. But I'll iterate that I think that he's really done a lot of bad things, and also that the Republicans or conservatives, whatever you want to call themselves, won't give Biden any credit, won't give Obama any credit for anything. So, I mean, they're even worse than I am. So, the idea that I just hate Trump and that's it. He's done some good stuff. Like, removing the, was it the terrorists, or not terrorists, but the, it was on Syria, the, what was it? The word slipped my mind now. But anyway,
The sanctions?
Yeah, sanctions, that's what. Yeah, took them up. I thought that was a good thing. I thought when he changed the marijuana, my mind's slipping, but anyway,
that's okay.
But he's done some good stuff. But the trouble is, and I don't think Trump is that dangerous. It's his followers. I mean, if it's not, Jim Jones, he wasn't dangerous. It was just the people that follow him, blindly follow him. They're the dangerous ones. I mean, there's certain followers.
Jim Jones was plenty dangerous, trust me.
Oh, well, not by himself. He was just a nut. I mean, it's the people who follow him blindly. Those are the people who are dangerous. If all these people, Hitler, all these people, if they were just by themselves, they were just another nut yelling in the park. But you got people who start following him and just listen to him and do whatever they tell him. They're the dangerous ones. And there are certain people that will just, no matter what they do, that they're okay with it. And then there's other people who just, oh, well, they excuse him. Well, he says some stupid stuff. He does some dumb, but that's just him. That's, they're just almost as bad because they let him do this stuff.
Yeah, you have to remember it. I know you've been around long enough to understand how intoxicating, especially people who don't have, a lot of education or a lot of imagination or whatever it might be, or don't just really pay attention to what's going on a complete level, are easily taken in by some of these people.
Yeah, and it's a groupthink. I mean, it's they get in, and it's hard to get out of. A lot of people they like being a part of the group. They this person. Well, I agree with a lot what he says, and so boy, he's really giving it to those liberals or whatever. They get in that.
Us against them, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I was really sticking it to him, boy. Instead of just thinking, I like what he says here, but this other stuff, this is really bad. So we gotta, give it. Everybody's a good and everybody's bad, but there's some, stuff that overshadows the good. So
all right, think for yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Think of yourselves.
Good. Thanks for the call, Harry. We appreciate it, sir. Annie's up next. Annie, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
I'm going to do whatever they tell them. There, they would be dangerous ones. And
whoops.
Did you say Annie?
Yes, Annie, you're on. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate your show. And now that the primary campaign's over, I plan to tune into your radio station whenever I can.
Good.
I won the primary for Public Service Commission.
Hey,
District 5,
congratulations. Yeah. How's the campaign going?
Thank you so much. Well, I'm not doing anything for the general yet. I'm going to probably wait till September and give some of my troops a break. But I just wanted to say that, you know, being a PSC commissioner is more than a 40-hour week job. I live and breathe this job. The PSC staff and leadership is great to work with. Speaking publicly, I can't discuss contested cases that are still open for decision, but would love an opportunity sometime to speak with you and take questions from your audience. So, because I just really believe Montana is being informed and engaged with what's going on in their government. It's critical to keeping Montana on the right track.
Well, Nick is sitting right across from me, our beloved producer, and so I'm sure he's got your number. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fantastic.
I'm sorry, Nick.
Really
go ahead.
I do not. So you will. You'll have to reach out to me, Annie.
Yeah.
I will reach out. Thank you so much for the time.
You bet. Good to talk with you. And Jeff is standing by. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, guys.
I don't know. Jeff, I'm going to put you on hold because, we got only a minute here left, and I want to give you plenty of time to make your comments. I guess I'll mention, too, that any other candidates that are out there listening, well, obviously on my list of a lot of the winners, but any candidates that are still in their races and want to come on our show, we welcome anybody and everybody. So
yeah, and the nice thing is about once you're on TalkBack, you're willing to take calls from people, you have to be well prepared, because our listeners are pretty smart. They ask great questions, and I think they really help clarify for any candidate from any office just exactly what they're expected to do. And so we appreciate anyone who's willing to run for office and expose themselves to, you know, the slings and arrows, if you will, of a political contest. Hey, God bless you, and we'll do everything we can to give you a platform to speak, and of course your opponents on all the levels. We would love to be a part of that. That's what we're here for. So 406-721-1290 is our number, or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, you're listening to Talk Back right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're going to come right back and get Jeff's call when we return right after this.
Childhood cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for children in our country. We can do something about that. We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Hey, we're back. It's the Monday, June 8th edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back every weekday. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning again, Peter. I guess Nick just didn't want to hear me, so I've forgotten what I was going to say. No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead. What's up?
Rather than get involved in that weary back and forth about Orange Man Bad, I thought I would talk about something that is a little more relevant, I guess. And I don't know if you know it or not, but this is the 20-year anniversary of that wretched documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, by Al Gore.
Wow.
It was 20 years ago that he got a bunch of things wrong. And NPR did an interview with him, and they didn't ask him about any of the things that he got wrong. And here's a few of the things that he got wrong. He said that, this is in 2006, within the decade, there will be no more snows on Kilimanjaro. Within the decade.
Okay.
There were. There still are. He said that Glacier National Park, the glaciers there would disappear by 2020 or 2021. You remember they had the signs up?
I do remember, yeah.
Well, see, now, they're going to be gone. They're not. Did hurricanes and extreme weather will increase? And it didn't. He said sea level would rise by 20 feet, flooding central cities like San Francisco's and parts of Florida and Manhattan. Didn't happen. He said the inhabitants of low-lying Pacific atolls would be forced to evacuate to New Zealand due to global warming. And they weren't. He said that it would shut down the ocean conveyor and ocean currents to keep Europe warm. That didn't happen. Then, of course, there's the famous polar bears that were filmed on an ice floe and were in danger of drowning because they had to swim such long distances looking for ice. And that hasn't happened. As a matter of fact, the polar bear population has at least doubled and maybe quadrupled. So, and the amazing thing is NPR didn't ask anything about those. But what the real tragedy of it is that we have, for 20 years, we've scared little kids.
Yeah,
exactly. They've grown up thinking that they're living in a world that's going to get destroyed because of global warming. And a couple of those, there's a 9-year-old girl, Alicia, who cried about mass extinctions from global warming.
Wow.
Another 9-year-old showed the Washington Post's drawing of global warming and said that in 20 years, there's not going to be any oxygen. And then to dramatize his point, he collapsed like he was dead on the floor.
Wow.
And they surveyed in 2007, 2009, they surveyed 500 American children, ages 6 to 11, and found out that one out of three of them might feared that the Earth might not exist at all when they grew up.
This was 20 years ago.
This was 20 years ago.
Right.
And NPR didn't ask him a single question about his failures. Because this is a huge story thing. Peter, this is a huge thing. We frightened vulnerable young kids for 20 years over something that's proven to be an abject, absolute lie.
Well, the crazy
and
thing
nobody's
is
nobody's accountable.
That won an Oscar.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Wow.
Which tells you the value of an Oscar, in my not so humble opinion, I guess. It's just another part of the gilded lilies of Hollywood congratulating themselves on what wonderful people they are.
For those who don't know what you're talking about, An Inconvenient Truth, I've got this little summary here. An Oscar-winning documentary about the environment featuring the unlikeliest of movie stars, former presidential candidate Al Gore, holds this film together as in front of an audience, with a few aides beyond photo slides. He explains how humans have messed up the planet. Gore issues an urgent warning on what must be done and done quickly to save the Earth. So there you go.
And he made millions off of it. It was a monetary ploy and nothing more. But just to put the icing on the cake, I don't know how many people realize, if you look at the cover of the movie, it shows a hurricane getting ready to destroy a country. But the hurricane's going the wrong way. They inverted the image. They couldn't even get the image on the cover right. So it's going clockwise and not counterclockwise. So it's just ridiculous. So, next time folks say, believe the science, just say, it's an inconvenient truth.
There you go. Jeff, as always, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Let's get Nancy on. We're coming up against a break. There you go. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Want to give Nancy plenty of time to make her point. By the way, open phones continues all the way until 9 o'clock this morning. So if there's something on your mind, maybe something happened this weekend, maybe you'd like to tout the fact that your kid graduated from high school and valedictorian or whatever, or just graduated from high school, you want to celebrate a little bit, give us a call. Tell us their names. We can wish them the best. So our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, looking ahead to the 9 o'clock hour, one of our favorite guests, Dr. Patrick Barkey, Director Emeritus with U of M's Bureau of Business and Economic Research, is going to be joining us from 9 to 10, and he'll have all sorts of things to say. Of course, taking your phone calls is one of the reasons why he's here. He enjoys hearing from you folks and your questions and comments as well. So we're going to come right back and continue this edition of Talk Back when we return right after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.
After a cold start, increasing clouds today with highs reaching low 70s. Those clouds will lead to a 40% chance of rain overnight, and then periods of rain Tuesday with a chance of precipitation hitting 90%. There's a chance some of those showers could come from thunderstorms with gusty winds through Tuesday afternoon. Rain continues Tuesday night, and then a chance of showers at times on Wednesday as the unsettled weather continues. Lows could still dip into the 30s when skies clear, with sun returning on Thursday.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back on this Monday, June the 8th. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen is taking your phone calls this morning. And let's get Nancy. We have two Nancys on the line. Nancy, you're the first to call. Good morning, ma'am. What's on your mind?
Yeah, morning, Gloria. I want to talk about three points here. I don't think anybody's shocked or surprised as to what happened in California regarding the elections. And, you know, it's just a damn shame the state has got away with this for so long. It's so corrupt. And I think maybe the solution, if this could possibly happen, is to strip California of some of its electoral votes. I believe the state is 52. And they need to really be punished and reprimanded for what they're doing there. But I know that President Trump called California out, and he also called out Meet the Press. I hope that most of you got to hear the soundbite where President Trump stood up to the Meet the Press, the journalist that was badgering him on, you know, the history of the violence and going in Islam there in Iran. And, of course, we all know it's a 1,400-year-old culture. And for 47 years, we've all heard the death chants. Death to America. So there was just no reason for this journalist to attack Trump, and he stood up for himself, and I'm glad he walked off away from this person. But you know, regarding what Harry said earlier about former President Barack Obama, I think the reason that no American really holds him in such high regard is because before Obama, we didn't have ISIS. We didn't have BLM, we didn't have TDS, we didn't have Antifa, we didn't have war on police, and we didn't have the expensive Obamacare. So I don't think there's too much good to say about Barack Obama. Do you, Peter?
Barack Obama is, to me, ancient history. So, I really don't think about him much at all. He was a two-term president. Enough people voted for him to give him two terms, and so that's all he's allowed. And so he is now history.
Well, in some ways he is, in some ways he not. But we'll get to that another day, and you have a good one.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Nancy. All right, we have more folks calling up this morning. It is open phone, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And looking forward to the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. Patrick Barkey will be joining us, I believe, in studio. Director Emeritus of the UM's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. He's retired now, but still does a lot of work, and I believe Sean is waiting. Sean, good morning. It's open phone, sir. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a little bit of confusion here that we're still talking about things, like you said, ancient history. And as far as what went on with our climate change issues and whatnot, maybe the fact is that the things that didn't happen that they said were going to happen is we actually took proactive measures to help them not happen.
I think that's a very good point. Yeah, go ahead, please. Sorry.
I think it gets lost in the conversation because people are so divided right now. They only want to stick to one side or the other. I am not one or the other. I vote my conscience. That's always what I've done. I'm 51 years old. I voted in every election. But I think the simple fact is sometimes people need to just breathe a little bit. And what's going on is what's going on. And we got to be careful on what we say sometimes. So, I mean, that's really all I got to say at the moment. So.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much for saying that. Nancy is another Nancy. Good morning, Nancy. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Okay, good morning. I have two comments. First, it's about thank you, Whitefish, for raising property taxes again. And then thank you for voting for Pride Month in this city, except for one on city council. Thank you.
All right.
Well, I'm sick of this Pride stuff. I am very... Why don't we have Heterosexual Month? Why don't we have Military Month? They don't need to be given a month. They don't even... They're no different. They're people, whatever. But I'm sick of them acting like they're supposed to be special. So... I never thought I'd see Montana turn into a pride anything. It's gone downhill. Oh. And, also, Nancy, you are totally right. Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.
Nancy, thanks for the call. All right, we have Annie and we have Kevin both standing by his open phones for another, 18 minutes or so. So if there's something on your mind, maybe someone who was speaking earlier sparked a comment from you, hey, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Put you on the air right away. 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday edition of TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're coming right back. TalkBackers.
Women experience unique life stages such as pregnancy or menopause that can increase their risk of developing cardiovascular disease over the course of their lifetime.
But here's the good news. Women have the best resource. We have each other.
Visit goredforwomen.org today to learn more.
Parents have a lot to get done in a day.
Sit tight, hon. I'll be right back.
But even when we're rushed, always remember, temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left in the car. Every time you park the car, stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Monday, June 8th edition of TalkBack. We're rolling right along this morning in our first hour, which is open phones. Kevin is standing by. Kevin, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, please go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
Okay. Yeah. A while ago, the subject of NPR came up, and I just had to call in to say that I've been listening over the years, and there are trends that you can notice. For example, if they say claimed without evidence or didn't offer specifics, you know, those are two phrases to watch out for. They say that about Republicans a lot, but I don't often hear them say that about Democrats. And they tend to have a lot of friendly interviews, book plugging interviews in a lot of cases with Democrats, but not Republicans. And one more thing, I got to say this. At the end of, at the end of 24, when one of their reporters did a 3-minute summary of Biden's presidency, she did not mention the Afghanistan disaster once. And that's an example of bias through omission. And yeah, if you look for them, if you're aware of the news generally, you can, you know, listen to NPR for a while and make up your own mind.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, sir. We appreciate it. And I believe Frank is standing by. Frank, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back. It's open phones. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I wanted to talk about the concert of Iron Butterfly when they were at the U of M back in August 13th of 1970. I was there. I was 18. And I couldn't believe the amplifiers that they had. They had it all stacked up against just one top on top of each other, these 15-inch JBL speakers. And boy, there was a lot of power there.
You bet.
If you stood too close to these speakers, they'd knock you across the floor. And they were, it was an example of the first experimentation in quadraphonic stereo. It didn't last very long, but I also want to say that song, In the God of the Vita, of course, everybody probably knows it. It was from a drunken party where they were using the words in the Garden of Eden.
Correct. Yes, that's
and,
true.
And then somehow they got into this, mostly they're in a bunch of alcoholics, but they got labeled acid rock. But then the other band that played with them was the Black Oak Arkansas. And then they had this kind of a strange persona of walking through the halls of karma, shaking hands with both the devil and God. And, you know, kind of gave the whole persona of both groups as kind of being, split personality or just associative individual traumatic inverts, you know. And it got labeled as acid rock, and loud, obnoxious music was now the new norm. And just, you know, there should be ordinance against about concerts that loud that could cause ear damage as well as brain damage and the rest of society. Anyway.
All right. Well,
my opinion.
Thanks.
I think they suck.
Okay. Thanks, right. Thanks for the call. All right. Annie is with us. Good morning, Annie. You're on TalkBack. What's on your mind, please, ma'am?
Hey, I appreciate another opportunity to be on. And I wanted to comment on Jeff and Sean's comments because I appreciate them so much. And a couple of other stats I want to talk about from the 1970s or other predictions that didn't come true. Is, you know, 1970, we're supposed to return to the ice age by 2000.
Right.
1970, urban citizens will require gas masks by 1985. 1972, U.S. oil depletion in 20 years. And, you know, the United States became number one in oil and liquefied natural gas production and exports in the world in 2022. So we've been at number one since 22. And we obviously aren't in gas masks in the big cities. And so a lot of, you know, what Sean was referring to as far as I think he's referring to human innovation, you know, catalytic converters that became mandated in the 1970s for vehicles. And that's part of the reason why we don't have as much pollution. And then also the innovation of fracking that allowed us to be number one in the world for gas and oil production. So I just wanted to mention those few things, you know, as global freezing, then it was global warming. Now it's just, you know, everything's catastrophic. And I just want to give a plug for human intervention and resilience.
Well, you know, the cool thing is that there are always people, you know, behind the scenes who don't make a lot of noise, right? Who are making huge, huge differences in our lives for the better. I mean, coming up with inventions and all sorts of things that are helping people, you know, live better lives. Okay. And they don't necessarily get a lot of publicity, but it's happening. And so I think we need to try to find ways to honor those people more than we do.
Yeah, right on. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Annie, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. We appreciate it. 406-721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. It is open phones for another a little less than 12 minutes. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. Patrick Markey is going to be joining us, Director Emeritus of the U of M's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. And so Dr. Markey does a local program weekly, and he's going to be with us answering your questions from 9 to 10. So we're looking forward to that. But right now, it's open phone. So if there's something on your mind, hey, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Did you have a kid or a child or a daughter or a son graduate from high school this weekend? If you did, congratulations. Our neighbor Ashley, we were invited over to her graduation party, and great kids from the high schools. And it's such a wonderful time when your child, it's a milestone. They graduate from high school, and then the world is their oyster from then on. Sometimes they go to college. Sometimes they go into the military. Sometimes they just begin their working life. So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Nick.
There's a trade schools, too. That's a big thing these days.
So, oh, yeah. You bet. Missoula College, by the way, is absolutely amazing. If you have a child who's maybe struggling with whether or not they want to go to college, hey, think about Missoula College. There are all sorts of training programs that can, you know, maybe 1 year, 2 years, that can get you into a really, really productive career. So I'm encouraging you to look into that. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Thanks for joining us on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after this. Hey, it's Peter Christian. Hey, it's Talk Back on this Monday, June 8th. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Open phones continues with Becky, who's been waiting the longest. Becky, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Yes, I'm a longtime listener to your wonderful show.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to report that this weekend we had the Artists Along the Bitterroot Tour in the River Valley County, and it was really successful. I sold 9 paintings myself.
Hey, congratulations. And, what kind of art do you do, ma'am?
Well, I do oil on canvas, and I do landscapes, but they're kind of modern looking, you know. I do also do portraits. They don't sell as much, but the other people had quite a bit of success, so the economy must be pretty good if people are buying art.
You bet.
And we have a tour twice a year. The next one's in October, so people should come out.
You bet. And whereabouts is this located in the Bitterroot?
Well, you get a map and you start up at Florence and go to people's studios all the way down to, I don't think there's anybody as far as Darby, but
yeah.
Hamilton, I guess, is the furthest one.
Excellent.
It's a nice thing to do on a weekend.
Thank you so much for the call, ma'am. We appreciate it. Kevin is standing by. Kevin, good morning. You're on TalkBack. What's on your mind, please, sir?
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just there was a couple callers, one caller anyway, saying that they did not appreciate the Pride Month and everything. All I can do is suggest is that you don't patronize the businesses in that area, and just tell them that. It's not acceptable behavior to a lot of people, and you don't want your money to go to any organizations or any thing that you don't believe in, you know.
It's called voting with your feet.
Well, it's also pocketbook.
Yeah,
you know, my feet.
That too. You're right.
You know, I mean, if they don't, and let the mayor know, and let all the businesses know that until after Pride Month is ended, the silliness, then you will go ahead and resume and then being a patron for their business.
Sounds good. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Jeff, you bet. Thank you. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'll try to be really quick again. I wanted to respond to the comment that maybe our behavior changed, the fact that we're not, the glaciers aren't disappearing. We now burn more hydrocarbons than ever. The use of coal worldwide is up more than it's ever been, thanks to China and India.
Wow.
And natural gas and oil are increasing, not decreasing. So I think it's a good thing because energy means prosperity. And regarding Gay Pride Month, I've taken the tack that I'm going to appropriate it. And it's really easy. Just add an R to the word gray and make it Gray Pride Month. Okay? We have our own flag, Shades of Gray. And our motto is, we're old, we're tired, get off our lawn.
I like it. There could be a huge political movement there.
I think so. I think Gray Pride, guys, go.
All right. Thank you for the call. All right. Phone lines are free. We have another 2.5 minutes left before we need to go to the top of the hour. And again, looking ahead to the 9 o'clock hour, our good friend, Dr. Patrick Barkey, Director Emeritus with U of M's Bureau of Business and Economic Research, is going to be joining us here in the studio, taking your phone calls, talking about all sorts of things. So, Nick, what else is going on? What do you have there, sir?
I just did a gas prices story. If people want a little quick update for that average gas prices in Montana have fallen 10.2 cents per gallon
all
in
right.
the last week. It was 11 cents the week before. We're now averaging 4.36 per gallon here in Montana, which the national average is significantly lower than that, which we're trying to figure out why. But
yeah,
they fell 17.9 cents per gallon in the last week, and the national average is now 409. So Montana is currently ranked 13th in the U.S. when it comes to the average price of gas, which is the same spot we were last week. So even with that big drop, that average gas prices declined in virtually every state over the last week. As oil prices continue to fall, crude oil is approaching $90 per barrel.
Wow.
And refiners are ramping up output following seasonal maintenance.
It's interesting to see how that whole rubric works about, you know, when the price of oil goes down, how long it takes to quite literally filter down to the gas pump.
Yeah. And Patrick Dahani is the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. He said, the future of prices remains murky. He said, with the Strait of Hormuz remaining effectively closed, global oil supplies continue to tighten, and any further deterioration in the situation could see prices sharply higher. So he said, for now, motorists may enjoy the savings at the pump, but he said the risk of a significant reversal has not gone away. So prices are just kind of all over the place right now, but they're starting to at least drop a little bit in Montana. So
fill her up.
fill up while you can. Yeah,
you bet. All right. And again, thank you for all your calls on open phones. We appreciate it. We're coming up on the end of the hour. And Dr. Patrick Barkey will be joining us, Director Emeritus of U of M's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Always a fascinating interview with Dr. Barkey. He's got all sorts of facts at his fingertips. We're going to come right back after the top of the hour. So please stay with us here on Montana Talks Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning once again, everyone. Good to have you along. It is hour number two of this Monday edition of TalkBack on June 8th. 2026. Again, I am Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is producing TalkBack, taking your phone calls this morning. And we're always privileged to have with us Dr. Patrick Barkey joining us in the studio. Good morning, sir. Welcome once again.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Nick. Hello, everyone.
Director Emeritus, I guess that's the proper way of saying it, with the Bureau of University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. So welcome back.
Thanks. Great. great weather out your patented weather window there.
Thank you. Patented exclusive weather window.
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay.
Violated the copyright, sorry.
No problem. So tell, what have you been up to? I know that you are working all the time at home now, but what kind of things are you tackling?
You mean other than cleaning my storm drain and
yes,
that kind of thing?
All those good things.
Yeah, yeah. I've been getting ready. It looks like I'm probably going to be the keynote speaker for the upcoming Outlook in the winter. So I'm pulling some stuff together for that program, trying to make a pitch to the new director to let me do what I want to do, which I tend to do anyway. But in this case, so I think looking at doing something about entitlement spending. I have some topics that are near and dear to my heart, and I probably talk about them too much from the viewpoint of listeners. But the reason why I talk about them is because I think they're important. They're also a little depressing. But there's a whole lot of other things to talk about, right, too. I mean, obviously, trying to make sense of the economy, trying to make sense of the recent jobs report, trying to figure out AI. I mean, there's lots of things to, lots of meat there to dig into.
So if you don't mind, we have about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes before we take our first break. But so just a capsule of why what, some of the bad news and get it kind of out of the way here.
Well, I mean, the bad news is clearly what, you know, when the shoe falls on what's going on with energy prices, because it's not really apparent yet, but it will be soon. Especially if things keep going as they are, that the economies of some parts of the world are quietly failing. You know, from you're talking about countries in Asia, countries in, you know, South America. There's lots of places that have depended on fairly cheap and fairly abundant oil. And it's still a pretty high price lever to be pulling. Now, in the U.S., yeah, we're very proud of the fact that thanks to our fracking friends, both in the Dakotas and Canada and obviously Texas, New Mexico, that situation is different, but it's still a global commodity and Americans are paying the price as well. So I think that's the big issue today. There continue to be issues with inflation, which is a serious problem, and one in which for some reason there seems to be some policy uncertainty. You would think the Federal Reserve would be pretty concerned. But who knows who speaks to the Federal Reserve these days. So that's a problem. I think there's one last problem I'll put there in the back burner, and that has been the increasing tendency for national government to rule by executive decree.
Rather than by legislative authority.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's great for action, but then all those actions can be reversed. I'm not even going to talk about whether it's legal or all that sort of stuff.
Right.
That's above my pay grade. But in terms of being able to have a firm foundation for investment and risk-taking, it sets up a kind of unfortunate situation. I mean, the recent news on what's going on with coal is a case in point. I mean, here's an administration that's saying we need more coal. You know, this administration is not going to be around much longer. Who knows what the next leader is going to say?
We're going to come right back. We'd love to have some calls. The reason that Dr. Barkey is here to answer your phone calls this morning at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk Back continues on the Montana Talks Radio Network right after this.
Your boots. After a cold start, increasing clouds today with highs reaching the low 70s, those clouds will lead to a 40% chance of rain overnight, and then periods of rain Tuesday with a chance of precipitation hitting 90%. There's a chance some of those showers could come from thunderstorms with gusty winds through Tuesday afternoon. Rain continues Tuesday night, and then a chance of showers at times on Wednesday as the unsettled weather continues. Lows could still dip into the 30s when skies clear, with sun returning on Thursday.
Listen, retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. This is the Monday edition of Talk Back. Glad to have you along this morning. 406-721-1290 is our number, or 1-800-568-5309. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen is taking your phone calls this morning, and we would absolutely love to have you be a part of what's going on the show today, especially since our featured guest is Dr. Patrick Barkey, Director Emeritus of the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. And I do believe we have Mike from Big Timber standing by. Mike, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. The question I have for Dr. Barkey is, we know economics is all about supply and demand, but how much influence does the commodity market speculators have on the prices, for example, the price of oil and gas and such? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, sir.
Well, there's no question that there's a lot of money in those markets. Oil is a gigantic market. It's a little bit harder for a speculator, and I know this isn't what you mean, to influence it. There's been a history going back centuries of speculative behavior moving prices. So speculators, I would say they get a bad rap, you know. I mean, they exist. We're all speculators in some ways, and this isn't to simplify your question, but we speculate every day we drive by a gas pump and don't buy anything, right? Because we think it might go down tomorrow, that kind of thing. So it's not like it's something you can make illegal or define away. I think speculators also tend to potentially smooth prices as well as introduce volatility, but it's part of the game. I mean, when you go, I was just reading a book about the American Revolution, and of course, you probably heard the story of all the military people during the Revolutionary War that were paid in script, and they sold their script to speculators for pennies on the dollar. And then, of course, the U.S. government famously made good on all those debts, and they were out and the speculators were in. So, you know, the whole essence of speculation is it's trading, and if trades are willingly and voluntarily carried out, then from the point of view of those making the trades, they must make themselves better off.
So, it's ultimately risk versus reward, right?
Yeah. The question, does it make things more volatile? I think the jury's out on that. I'm not sure it does, but it does provide each side of the trade what they want. So I can't question it. It's a fact of life, I guess, is the way I would put it, Mike.
Okay, let's get Bob on the line. Bob, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead.
Hello, Patrick.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Patrick, you mentioned something just minutes ago. I'd like you to elaborate on a little bit, because for me, it's really of great concern. It's the cascading effect of what you were starting to describe, where we don't think about a number of other countries that are at really delicate moments. There's a lot of fertilizer that comes out of the Strait of Hormuz. We're looking at potentially much higher food prices. Who knows if this will come to pass? You also have another possibility, which is with a changing La Nina. This may have a major effect on food production and distribution. So give a little bit more insight, please, to some of the things that you just started to raise, especially about your concerns regarding inflation.
Thanks, Bob.
Good morning, Bob. Good to hear from you. Well, yeah, you said it pretty succinctly. I mean, there is a tendency for Americans and Montanans, for that matter, to watch news on TV like it's a long ways away. And we learn through these economic linkages that we have that things are much closer than we think. There would be, you know, a lot of these countries that are at risk are fairly large, important economies, you know, especially in Asia, Korea, and so forth. I mean, these places are, they're hurting, to put it mildly. And I don't like to think of the economy as being kind of at a precipice or on a cliff or kind of a knife edge kind of a situation where one false step and we fall into the abyss. Normally, economic corrections, if you will, to these kinds of unforeseen events take place with a little bit more fluidity and much more gradual. But here's a case in which there are some tripwires that are setting up where some fairly large customers of the U.S., and you mentioned the ag sector and you mentioned some of the other sectors, some fairly large customers are getting close to having to make major changes that would impact us.
We have about 2 minutes, so go ahead, please.
I have 2 more minutes of wisdom to share with you. I think you mentioned inflation. Okay, so the old line about oil price increases factoring into inflation still has some merit. There is one profound difference. Well, there's more than one profound difference. There's several in the U.S. economy than we were, say, in the days of the embargoes in the 1970s. We're a much less energy intensive economy. And we also produce a lot of oil now that we didn't used to produce. But that just takes a little bit of the edge off a phenomenon which still exists, and that is that the energy prices matter. They matter a great deal. They do swing both ways, even in Montana, because we produce oil and we're proximate to the Bakken oil that is doing better, although most of the action is down in Texas. But they matter a great deal for consumers, and they matter for pivotal products like automobiles and plastics and things like packaging of all kinds. So airline prices, that's not inflation, but that's a burner that's turned up fairly high, at least a big part of the economy, possibly not as big as it used to be. They're not bringing us to our knees. But we're already seeing it take place. So we see it in consumer spending. We see it in bad debt. We see it in some risk-taking by companies that are anticipating needs. We also see it on the other side, right? This ramps up the incentives to make Venezuela actually an oil-producing country like it used to be, even though it's a minefield for risk. So lots of moving parts. Inflation, not good news.
We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. Harry and Annie are both waiting to visit with you. Several other phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us on TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. It looks like we've dodged the bullet when it comes to Montana flooding stemming from the heavy rains and then snow melt over the past couple of weeks. Emergency managers have been keeping a very close eye on regional river levels. According to a hydrology update from the National Weather Service office in Missoula, the Flathead River at Columbia Falls briefly peaked just above its critical 13-foot minor flood stage this week following upper elevation rains. Current levels at Columbia Falls were 11.4 feet Sunday evening. That's below the action stage of 12.5 feet. Moderate flood stage on the Flathead is considerably higher at 18 feet. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Energy Keepers Incorporated confirming that they're actively coordinating dam outflows downstream to pass the Flathead River runoff downriver into the Clark Fork and on into Lake Ponderay in Idaho without causing any flooding downstream. Major infrastructure improvements coming to one of Bozeman's most prominent public spaces, according to a joint project announcement by the city of Bozeman. The city is officially partnering with the local advocacy group Ability Montana to launch an accessible remodel at Lindley Park. City project managers say that the new construction will focus on upgrading park trails and community spaces to ensure residents of all mobility levels can easily navigate the area. A long-awaited addition to Missoula's faith community is officially under construction. Hundreds of residents from across western Montana gathered in the Lower Miller Creek neighborhood as regional leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints officially broke ground on a new temple. Church officials say the sacred structure will serve as a central spiritual hub for members regionally. Project representatives state that heavy excavation and initial site layout work will scale up quickly over the coming summer weeks. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app or visit montanastatenews.com.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own vacuum.
You said you'd never stop listening to your music.
Do your happy dance. Do your happy dance. Yeah.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
You said you'd never give in to demands.
Two kids' meals. And a chocolate shake.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. And no amount of time is okay to leave your child in a car by themselves.
Long line today.
Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us on this Monday edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Our special guest in studio, our good friend of the show, Dr. Patrick Barkey, Director Emeritus of with UM's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. And folks have been waiting quite a while to visit with you, sir. Rick is up first. Rick, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Barkey. According to Rice University, the Kinder Institute that is sponsored by Rice, American driving habits, American drivers since mid-70s has went up 180%. That's a pretty substantial jump. But we haven't built a new refinery in this country since, I believe it's 1977. We've improved existing refineries, retooled them. But yet the state of California, companies like Phillips, Chevron, Vallejo, they're leaving the state due to their horrible business, the way they treat businesses. And California gets, by estimates, somewhere between 60 and 70% of its oil from overseas, which means it probably comes from the Persian Gulf area. Do you see a problem in the refinery capability of this country? Oregon has no refineries. They get their gas, their products from Washington. I think it's called the Cascadia Line. California has no pipelines coming from outside of its state to bring gas from the Midwest, Texas, all that. Have our politicians been asleep at the wheel, kind of like they are at most things? And then all of a sudden we have a conflict overseas and the whole apple cart is tipped over. The refinery capabilities, it would take years to build refineries. I don't know about the ones in California, if you could reopen them very quickly. But do you see a problem with lack of refineries and the lack of paying attention to what was eventually going to come down the road?
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, I mean, a problem in the sense our costs influence? Absolutely. Problem in a sense that there's a whole bunch of places that used to have gas and now they're dry with signs on them that say go someplace else. I don't see that problem as much. Anything could happen in the future, and I'm not perfect at predicting it. But most of the things you're mentioning are reflected in prices. So when you look, for example, we just took a driving trip. But we went east. We didn't go to California. But, the differences in gas prices, which we all know. I'm not telling listeners anything they don't know. You drive around, the prices are, 2 feet tall? You can't miss them, you know? They're on poles 200 feet tall, blinking in red lights. How do you not know the price of gas? And, of course, it's different places you go. Now, that's not what you're talking about, okay? But a lot of the things you mentioned are mostly true. I'm not going to quibble too much with the numbers. I'm not sure about Persian Gulf with California, but who am I to say? I don't keep track of all that stuff. But they certainly are importing refined products, and you're certainly right about pipelines. One thing about California you need to remember is that there's 40 million customers there, And they are, if not the most, one of the most affluent states in the U.S. So no oil producer is going to ignore California, whether the business environment is good or bad. Companies relocating are is more of a I would argue, and you're free to disagree, is more of a headquarters and an attempt to escape the liability, if you will, in California. So I'm not going to talk too much about California, but I mean, you're essentially right. And you also said there's been improvements at refineries. There's been a huge increase in refining capacity that's taken place at existing facilities. So if that had not been the case, then certainly prices would be much, much higher. Would more refineries help ease price pressures? Perhaps. There is a lot involved in siting and building a refinery, not just a huge capital investment, but the pollution situation and not to mention the political situation. I don't think we're asleep at the wheel. We've always had this love-hate relationship with oil in this country. A lot of people like to see oil use being sunsetted. They view it as kind of a root of all evil when it comes to environmental issues. And there's some evidence of that, no question about it. But then it's also a the lifeblood of a modern economy is access to cheap, abundant, and relatively high-impact energy, which, of course, oil and some of the other fossil fuels are. So I'm kind of slaughtering your question with words, but I guess you're getting a little bit of the feel for how I feel about some of the things you raised. They're not causes for alarm, but they're certainly factors that that drive costs, which are enormously different when you get to different parts of the country, with Washington and certainly California showing that in spades with their retail price of gasoline approaching, if not above, $6 a gallon right now.
We're going to come right back. Dr. Barkey stays with us until 10 o'clock this morning. If you have a quick question, give us a call. Harry and Annie are both standing by wanting to visit with you. And several other phone lines are open, by the way, at 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. And Dr. Barkey will be with us all the way till 10 o'clock. So several of our phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. But when we come back, We'll get to Harry and Annie and get their calls on right after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Don't be fooled. This is Talkback on this Monday. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is producing Talkback every day. And joining us here in the studio, Dr. Patrick Barkey. And Harry has been waiting very patiently through the break. So, Harry, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Patrick. Yeah, your answer to Bob sort of hit on this, but with all the numbers coming out, the job markets are doing up, but the inflation's up, and each side sort of latches onto whatever numbers they want to put out, saying, well, the economy's doing great. I know he's doing terrible. Do you see any, step back from all the political, sideshow and say, can look at some kind of pattern and see what direction we're going? I know they say it's a fool's errand to predict the future, but I'm wondering if you can see, a sort of direction we're headed to. Is inflation possibly going to go up, stay the same, go down? How do you see this?
Well, thanks for your call, Harry. My first thought that came to mind, which is not your question, but I said, thank goodness we have numbers, right? I mean, there was a period of time not too long ago when all those federal statistical agencies were lights out, and we didn't have any inflation reports. We didn't have any job reports. So that thankfully is past, and who knows what will happen in the future. So what do the numbers mean? Well, first off, I think there's kind of a there's an optimistic spin on all of this, and it goes something like this. There have been some real curveballs thrown at the economy in the last year and a half. I mean, and the economy has largely shrugged them off. That's an oversimplification, but the thrust of that is, I believe, is true. We've had this huge oil price shock that has brought the economy to its knees in earlier decades. That is, and we're still hanging in there. We're still hiring people. And we've also seen this incredible change in international trade that has been brought about by the tariffs, whether they come, whether they go, they're up, they're down, the Europeans don't like us. I mean, all this sort of stuff. And yet the economy is still going. So I think we're a little bit on thin ice in that respect. I think there's only so many body blows. Even an economy as dynamic and as prosperous as the U.S., and I would add in Montana, that we can take. So when we have one too many, we'll be in trouble. So that's my big concern. In terms of what the numbers mean, look, the numbers for inflation do not look good. They're quite ugly, in fact, because a lot of the price impacts of the things that have happened, particularly with energy and to some extent with trade, are not yet really showing up in inflation, but they're getting there. We're seeing price increases from tariffs that came and went and came again that producers swallowed for a while, but they're coming through into consumers. And you know, it's still an economy that's at what we call full employment, because the unemployment rate is not very high, and there seems to be some balance in the labor market. So I think the economy is doing moderately well. I'm not too influenced by 1 month of good job data, but nonetheless, it's always good to have good job data, isn't it? But I think the outlook for inflation is a little grim, and I think a sensible policy, in fact, a necessary policy, is for the Federal Reserve to get on the job and start doing something about it.
All right, let's try to get one more call in before we take a break. Annie, go ahead, please. You're on with Dr. Barkey.
Hey, Dr. Barkey, I have a question for you, but I wanted to first say that you've been a hero of mine since you and Pete Larson spoke December 2022 about the University of Montana Merit Study. And for the listeners, Merit stands for Montana Electricity Reliability Initiative. And I have your entire slide deck and use portions of it periodically to educate folks. But you spoke at a resource adequacy forum put on by the Public Service Commissioner, and it was about a month after I was elected for PSC District 5. Anyway, so I want to ask you a question about resource adequacy. When I campaigned in 2022, resource adequacy was a huge concern. One of the concerns your merit study brought forth was that if trends continue, Montana will become a net importer of electricity, with, of course, decreased reliability and increased costs likely. And since my time as Public Service Commissioner, our largest regulated utility, they have built and are utilizing a natural gas plant in Laurel. They have purchased majority shares of Colstrip, coal fire plant, and Montana has become a net exporter of electricity. So a critically important piece of keeping electricity prices reasonable is to maintain resource adequacy, and the popular press doesn't pick up on that portion of determining prices. So I was asking if I would be grateful if you would please comment on the changes in energy resource adequacy in Montana 2022 to now, and how that impacts prices.
All right, we will do that right after we come back for the break. That takes a lot more time than we have right now. We just have a few seconds left in this segment, and Dr. Barkey will tackle that when we come back. 406-721-1290 is our number. This is the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana. Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
This is our shared heritage. But today we're divided, except for our love of wildlife and wild places they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this Monday edition of Talk Back. And again, our special guest in the studio, Dr. Patrick Barkey, Director Emeritus of U of M's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. We unfortunately ran out of time before the break started. So please, if you could address the last call.
Yeah, great question, Zanny. Thank you very much for your kind words. There's two takes to make on this. The first is just to very quickly clarify what exactly is being talked about. Resource adequacy for Montana has to do with whether or not there is adequate capacity in the electric transmission and generation distribution systems to be able to ensure that Montanans have access to adequate electric power, that we're not forced to cut back as they have in some parts of the country because there are periods of heavy use or perhaps when systems go down. So the point made in the study that was quoted had to do with some bottlenecks, particularly with transmission systems in Montana that cause there to be some challenges. So the question is, what has changed since that study came out? And here is something which, in my old days when I was on the job as a research director, I would say, that sounds like I need to do more research. Pay me some more money, and I'll do it. I'm being a little bit flippant there, but it is a question that is best answered with the complete data and to really dig into it. I haven't done that, so I'll just give you my impressions. The first is that I don't think it's quite. Prices are a double-edged sword. Most people think, well, it's the job of the PSC to keep prices low, and that's actually certainly politically speaking, that's that if you don't do that, you're going to lose the next election. But in terms of what the PSC and what we really expect is, we expect there to be adequate power, and that requires incenting the utility to make the investments. And Northwestern, maybe soon to be Black Hills, we'll see, did that in the case of the station out in Lockwood. But let me just say that I think I lost my thought there, but I think some of the things that have changed have been the continuing the situation with coal and coal strip. I think not much has changed on one of the biggest issues we had in Montana, and that is our overtaxed transmission system, which very few of us give any thought to, and properly so.
It's aging, yeah.
It's a testament to how well it was engineered,
right,
and the fact that these lines can carry power in both directions. I think there is a situation where it takes years and years and years to do the build. Building has to happen, and it's been a bottleneck. It's been something that's been really stymied most recently, perhaps. I think it was about 10 or 12 years ago that there was something called the Misty Line that was going to take wind power from central Montana and take it to California through lines that would have added to our entire transmission capacity. Everyone in Montana said, why are we helping Californians? No, 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 no. Listen, electricity knows no political barriers.
Right.
And it's the adequacy of Montana's electricity, and this was a point I tried to make to the PSC, I'm sure others have as well, it's not enough to take a look at Montana electric producers and say, yeah, you're good, you got enough, or no, you don't. We're embedded into a region, and that region is making changes all over the place. You've seen what's happened in the state of Washington with respect to coal resources. Plants are closing. It's an issue. So I'm sorry I'm not able to bring any more current facts into this conversation, But I will say that the reason for doing that study is the fact that not enough businesses in particular, but also consumers, are aware of how thin the ice is getting with respect to electric adequacy. And if we've learned anything from what happened in Texas 3 years ago with their ice storm, and what happened in California, and what in fact is still happening in California today with the wildfire risk, that is that outages of the electric system are incredibly costly to the businesses and consumers both. In fact, it's kind of funny. My wife gets a prescription that has to be refrigerated. I was going to go pick it up at the pharmacy. Guess what? They had a power outage.
Wow.
They lost their refrigeration. They had to toss all of their refrigerated prescriptions. So that's a tiny example, but it's an unspoken and ignored, quite frankly, issue that if and when it flares up, and let's hope it doesn't, is really going to cost us plenty.
I think it's amazing how much of all of this we take for granted, Dr. Barkey, because we just go home, you know, open the refrigerator door, the light comes on, yay, you know, everything's still cool or it's cold in the freezer, and you put the pot on the stove and you get to heat up your soup or whatever it might be. That these are things that, 150 years ago were just in a fantasy. But now we depend on these every single day at every single household.
Yeah, it's modern living, isn't it? Right? The light switch, the toilet flush, I mean, all these kinds of things, they go someplace else. And out of sight, out of mind, we've always benefited and we continue to be benefited today by really smart people that are thinking very hard about it. Certainly with the new data center angle, electrification, a lot of these things are bringing old issues from being future problems to being present problems in a hurry. And I think that alone is going to change things.
All right, Dr. Patrick Barkey is joining us, Director Emeritus of the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. He's here with us until 10 o'clock this morning. Several phone lines are open. When we come back, Walt and Jeff both want to visit with you. So if you want to get your questions in, now is the time, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We deeply appreciate Dr. Barkey being with us today. And even though he's kind of semi-retired or just mostly retired or fully retired? What are we?
All the above.
All the above. We're going to come right back with more with Dr. Barkey. We'll get Walt's call, Jeff's call. Still several phone lines open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We appreciate you joining us every day right here on TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. So tell them today, I love you. Get screened. It could help save their life. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Hey, it's Talk Back on this Monday, and we are in the final segment now of Dr. Patrick Barkey, Director Emeritus of the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research, here answering your questions, and Walt has been waiting the longest. So, Walt, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please, sir. Walt, you're on.
Hello?
Yeah, Walt, go ahead, please, sir.
Oh, good. Well, good morning, everybody. Dr. Barkey, two-part question. The first part of the question is, have there been any studies to determine the impacts of fraud on the economy in terms of deficit spending and inflation? And the second part of the question is, if there haven't been any studies, why don't you make a proposal and see if you can't do one? Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, great question. I think I think Google is your better friend for that kind of question than Pat Barkey, although I try to keep abreast of everything. Just because I'm not aware of any studies, I certainly am aware of estimation of the scale of fraud. And I think the numbers, and particularly in the internet age, when it's much more possible for someone in Bulgaria to collect your unemployment insurance benefit, or maybe not even yours, but some sort of fictitious one, than it may have been in the pre-internet era. So I think it's kind of a swing and a miss for me on that. I do believe that the number of political taglines that cut fraud and abuse, you almost think they ought to make an acronym out of it so they wouldn't have to say all those words out loud, because that's been one of those, as they say in Washington speak, one of those bipartisan issues. I mean, who's in favor of fraud? I mean, other than the crooks. So, I think one of the things that is really come out, though, has been the increasing threat to smaller and smaller entities. I mean, you know, the old story with Willie Sutton, why does he rob banks? Because that's where the money is. That's what we do with the federal spending. That's where the money is, clearly. But the scale of fraud as it impacts everything from local hospitals and school systems to older Americans with average levels of wealth, I think that is the impact on the economy in terms of the wasteful behavior that is taken to try to fend off that kind of fraud. But that's about as good as I can do there, Walt. I'm afraid I'm not really very knowledgeable about it.
Let's get Jeff on. We have about 3 minutes left in our time together. Jeff, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, all. Good morning, Patrick. Before I get to my question, a request to Scott Richmond. Can you please get Dr. Barkey's Economic Minute back on? I know that there's a different networks and news and stuff, but I really miss not hearing you in the morning, Dr. Barkey. So that's my request to Scott Richmond.
All right, there you go.
It's not a Scott Richmond call, but that's okay.
That's okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know who else to bring it to. So I'm looking at a graph published by, I think it was Robert Bryce, and it has data from Our World in Data. And it's graphs plots income versus energy usage. And the takeaway from the graph is that high-income, low-energy countries don't exist. If you want to get prosperous as a country, energy is the way to go. And Robert Bryce mentioned a guy named Jasper Machogu in Kenya, who's a subsistence farmer who's trying to get national attention to the plight of farmers in Kenya. And so my question for you is, what's being done, do you know, both locally in Montana and nationwide, to make sure that we have the energy that we need and to help countries that are low energy? I mean, 700 million people have less energy.
Jeff, we're running out of time.
It takes for us to run a refrigerator. So can you tell about that? And if you have time, on nuclear energy.
We got about a minute. Go ahead. Minute and a half. Go ahead.
Well, prosperity gives you buying power. Countries with buying power buy a lot of things and they buy a lot of energy. So it's not clear which way the causality goes there. But it's certainly true that there are no countries that are using mules to pull their plows that are at the top of the GDP per capita list. No question about it. And I'm sure that Robert Bryce is right on with that kind of comment. I think the story, though, with the poorer countries, I'll just take that one up, has to do with investment. So more investment, more wealth.
Dr. Barkey, always a pleasure having you on. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you, too.
You bet. Okay, Nick, go ahead, please.
Yeah, a busy day tomorrow from 8:10 to 8:20. We'll talk with Americans for Prosperity. Then the next 10 minutes we'll spend with Brian Mussard. And then 8:30 to 9, it'll be open phones. And 9 to 10 for the full hour, it'll be OPI Superintendent Susie Hedelin talking about how the school year went and what to expect in the summer.
Great. Sounds great. And it's going to be a very, very busy day tomorrow. So hope you'll join us. And again, the number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. A big thank you again to Dr. Patrick Barkey. And it's always a pleasure having him here in the studio. So get out there and enjoy this beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow morning bright and early at 8 o'clock on Talkback.